Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Mick Gillespie. He is the Tennessee Smokies, the play-by-play man for the Tennessee Smokies. And a lot of Cub fans, Mick, and Mick joins us now in studio. A lot of Cub fans have been going to YouTube and have been going to the MILB site and have been following you, following them all year long. It has been it's been more fun to watch the young guys down on the farm than it has been to watch the team as it's, well, now you got some guys coming up. But it's welcome to the studio. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's great to be here right now with you guys here personally. And then listening to those highlights, I'm thinking, we've had a lot of fun this year.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing because once they said the pipeline would start, the guys would start coming through there, they would start moving through. And you keep thinking, okay, when guys like Elmore go through and even Addison Russell, is there someone else? And they're obviously going to have another high draft next year. But it's got to be fun in Tennessee to see the growth of these guys, even if they're not there for that long a time.
Yeah, and I remember that, too, that conversation. We were at winter meetings, and it was right when Theo and those guys took over, and they're like, you know what, we're going to get you good players. And the Smokies had done well. I mean, they'd done well for years. Since they've been a Cubs affiliate, they've been to the playoffs. If they make it now, and they're in good shape, three up with 10 to go, it's 6 years out of, out of eight opportunities. But the caliber of player has improved dramatically. And I think that goes back to philosophy and also the fact that the Ricketts and their family and their ownership is willing to spend the money on top-notch guys. You know, you get in the draft, and if you're not going to pay for even if you have a great pick, if you're not going to pay to get a Chris Bryant, then you have to pick someone else, you're going to get someone else, you know. So the caliber of player, the superstar type of talent, is head and shoulders above the rest of the teams in the league. And, you know, just talking to Bruce Levine and some of the other guys at the Cubs game last night in the press box. And I can't remember a time this year where I looked on the other side of the field for a team that the Smokies were playing and said, okay, yeah, they've got more talent than us. It just doesn't happen anymore. We're a lot younger and we're a lot more talented.
So Javi Baez obviously has moved to the big league club. Chris Bryant's moved to AAA. Soler's in AAA. But you're seeing Albert Elmora on an everyday basis, Addison Russell on an everyday basis. Who else is with that team that's on the way here?
Well, we've got all the pitching guys, too.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I don't think those guys are, when I look at them and I see Russell, I say, you know what, maybe next year, September call-up for him. I mean, he's kind of progressing so fast. C.J. Edwards is the Cubs' top pitching prospect.
He's got an arm issue, though, right?
Well, he's back. He had a little tendonitis in his shoulder, and it was one of those things where he probably could have bounced back. He told me 2 weeks later he could have pitched again, but they want to be, you know, extra careful with him, and he's a swing-and-miss guy. He reminds me of Chris Archer when he was with the Smokies because of the fact that he – when he's throwing his pitches, he gets so many swings and misses. And I think the last time I looked, you know, he had, 20 more innings than hits allowed, you know, and then you don't see that a whole lot, you know. So it was something like, you know, like 60 innings, 40 hits or something. So, I mean, that's in our league is superstar type stuff. You know, that's when you have Andrew Kashner or Chris Archer, who the Cubs traded. But he's 6'2", 155. So he's got to put on some weight. And then he's got to stretch it out. He's only thrown a handful of games because of the injury, but when he's in there, he's tremendous. And then Pierce Johnson, who was a top pick for the Cubs, he's dealt with some issues this year, but he's back. And he's got that. There's times where he's just incredible. You know, he just mows guys down. I still think for him it comes back to throwing more strikes because if you get up here, you can't walk batters. You know, so that's going to take time. Ivan Pinheiro, the guy they got from the Nationals last year in the Scott Hairston trade, he's been up and down. He had some forearm issues and missed time on the DL, but he's another pretty talented guy. And then the guy they got from the Yankees, Corey Black, who was in the Soriano deal.
Sure.
He's pitched all year. And I'm wondering just the way that the Cubs front office works, that if he's going to pitch for the team in the playoffs, because they give you a pitch limit. They did it with Kyle Hendricks last year, and they're going to be careful. They don't want to see these guys get hurt in the minor leagues, and I don't know what that level is for him. But he's a guy that you watch, and he's a starter in the minor leagues, and most of the good ones are. And then you're thinking, this guy would be a really good, like, back-end type reliever.
Bullpen help. Yeah.
When Theo and Jed first started the new regime here, they talked about how they wanted every level of the minor league system to have the same philosophy, execute things the same way. So when players went through the system, got to Wrigley Field, there hadn't been any variances, no coaches went rogue on anybody. Have you seen that manifested with roving instructors, Jason McLeod being down there talking to coaching staff? How have you seen that executed, at least at Tennessee?
Yeah, we see Jason a lot. I think he's a tremendous talent. I think when he's your third guy or however they've got him pegged out, that's pretty good, because there's organizations that would like to have him as their first guy.
Right.
You know, so we see him a lot. And then, they try to keep it pretty consistent. They have a plan for each player, you know, and you hear that a lot from the guys. Hey, what's your player plan? And you can kind of get an idea of the projection that they have for them in the future. And then when you see guys that dominate, you know, that's what they want. They want to see guys dominate. You see Chris Bryant come in and then hit 355 and lead the Southern League in 10 offensive categories, and then boom, you know, they're moving up. But if a guy's struggling, you know, they're not trying to push him up through the system, and the patience is what'll pay off. You know, I mean, if Chris Bryant's an exception to the rule, I mean, you don't see guys like that very often, but I think that they are trying to be consistent in the way that they develop players. And I'm sure that it's going to show up here, you know, with the talent and then also that consistency.
And we should let our listeners know the way the minor league systems tend to work. You know, obviously there's rookie ball, but then you go into Class A, you get a lot of players there. You're trying to figure out how they're moving. Double A is where most of your future major league stars are, and Triple A is sort of you're right on the verge of making it, and you're moving closer to the major leagues. But Double A is really, generally speaking, where the majority of the future major leaguers are for some point in their career.
Yeah, that's the fun part about being in Double A. The problem with Triple A is that if you have a really good, talented young guy, and then you get, you know, five or six or eight of these guys that have kind of into the big leagues and they're on their back end.
The 4A guys.
The 4A guys, exactly. They a lot of those guys, it's tough for them mentally to handle the fact that they realize it's probably not going to happen for them every day, maybe like they were reading about themselves for years. And sometimes it can be a toxic environment in Triple A. And I'm not saying that's how it is with the Cubs or any other team, but it happens a lot. You know? In Double A, we really don't have that. I mean, it's been a great experience for me personally. I mean, I've enjoyed being around the guys, and normally the clubhouse is great. And like you said, I mean, when you get to this league, you know, to talk about Addison Russell, if you can't make it in our league hitting the 96, it's really the first time you're probably going to see more hard throwers in Double A than you will Triple A.
Right.
If you can command that, they're going to bring that up, you know, to the major leagues. But if you can do it there, and make it look easy, like Starlin Castro when he was there, you say, okay, you know, this guy's really good. And then the guys that struggle there, they just can't make it in the big leagues.
When Chris Bryant was there, I was out in Las Vegas over in the spring, and he obviously is from Vegas and played some ball out there. His dad was in one of the columns talking about, you know, my son should basically be up with the Cubs, the big club right now. And Chris, to his credit, has said all the right things at all the right times, that, you know, wherever they want me to play, I'll play. But there was a palpable frustration from the agent, from the family, that there's really no challenge even at that level. And now, obviously, he's at Iowa. A couple questions on Chris. Do you believe that is he just a good kid who's going along with the program? Do you think he's being challenged at Triple A? And also, third base, he still wants to play there as a big kid, 6'5 or whatever, and seems like he's really married that position. Do you see him playing that position at the big with the big club?
All right. Well, let me start with this. Chris is like Cal Ripken. I mean, you know, he's going to do everything the right way because that's who he is. It's not an act or anything like that. He's so accommodating to the fans, to the media, to his teammates, and he's the best player. And it's consistent. That's why I say, like Cal Ripken, you know, you watch a guy like that, you know, or Rhino when he was here. And I spent a year with working in the minor leagues. You know, those guys are just who they are, you know. And Chris wants to sign every autograph. You know, he wants to take time for every person on the team if they need anything. We need something. He's there for us. He's a great guy. I talked to his dad, Mike, who is a Red Sox farmhand. And a lot of Chris's hitting comes from Mike's time working with Ted Williams when he was in the Red Sox system. I think Mike's probably right. I mean, as far as if the Cubs decided to put him in the big leagues, I'll go on a limb and say I think he's probably the best player on the Cubs team right now. I just can't imagine him not doing well. And I mean, I just saw what he did in Southern League, and now what he's done in Iowa. He's just done the same thing. And the best part about him is that he's going to get on base all the time. You know, not just the we had a series against Mississippi, and they had five pitchers go to the big leagues, and they were really going to pay attention to Chris, you know, because he was batting 350 and, you know, whatever else, hitting all the home runs and leading the league in RBIs and doubles and on-base percentage. So they were really happy at the end of the series when he was 4-for-9 with, like, 6 walks. So, I mean, he had, like, 5 RBIs, you know. You're just kind of laughing. It was a quiet series for Chris. As far as third base, I mean, I'm just a broadcaster, but – he's just so big, you know. It's like guys bunt the ball and he's going to come in at 6'5", and he's, you know, trying to scoop up those swinging bunts, not only the ones that they try to put down there, and he's got a great arm and he does all those things. But, you know, to me, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's a guy that could play outfield. He can play first base. Yep. He told me that he was a catcher until he hit his growth spurt. He's pitched. I mean, he's not going to pitch here, obviously, but, I think that he could be a guy that they put maybe somewhere, and then he just kind of does a lot of different things depending on what his team needs. And I remember we talked, and he just doesn't look like a natural third baseman. You know, even the guy that the Cubs have there now, Christian Villanueva, it's like watching Brooks Robinson or Ron Santo at third, you know. He's so good. And then, you know, comparing him to Chris defensively, you know, it's not a fair comparison. They're just different type of people. And talent and size, you know. But Pete Rose made the All-Star team in, I think, like 5 positions. And I see Chris as that kind of guy. I think wherever he goes, he's going to hit. And whatever your team needs, he's going to try to do. And he's going to be that guy in the lineup that you kind of know, hey, we're going to get this out of him. He's going to drive in this many runs. He's going to be consistent. He's able to – the other thing is he's able to play banged up. I mean, you see it now with his foot. He's whoa, we're worried, MRI, da-da-da. And then – all right, he's back. He hit a home run. You know, there's more than any other player in the minor league.
Is he the best one? Is he the best one you've seen? Is Baez better than him? Is it? I know it's unfair to ask that question, but and maybe you break it down into hitter and fielder. But you know, Bryant, by all accounts, is kind of the best one of the lot. Is that what you see?
Yeah, I mean, he's the most consistent. You know, he's the guy with the least amount of holes. You know, he's got the best approach. But they're all really – those five guys out there, Russell in there too, they're all special. You know, it's I remember wondering if Jorge Soler – because I do the spring training games on the Cubs.com with Len, and I get to see these guys. And Soler was the guy that was kind of like, you know, what is this guy? You know, he's always hurt and all this. Well, you know, because he got hurt last year. And then he comes to the play for Double A, and he gets hurt after his first at-bat. He doubles. And then he comes back, and I'm like 2 weeks in going, this guy's like – it's like having like an all-star, you know, back – like a giant all-star, major league all-star in the outfield every day.
Yeah.
And he didn't stay in the Southern League long. I know he's scuffled a little bit in AAA with the soft stuff, and I knew that would probably happen, but he'll work through that. It's like – I was saying this the other day. My father was always the all-time pitcher in wiffle ball in the backyard, but once in a while he'd bat, you know, and then he'd hit the ball so much harder than us, you know. The ball was like squish, you know. And I'd say it was Soler hits, and he hit a home run against the White Sox Double-A club Birmingham, and it was like 435 to left center field, like into this second-level picnic area. And I'm telling you, the ball looked like it squished in, like my old man used to hit him in the backyard. So, I never saw Brian or anyone do that. And, you know, Baez is, to me, his flair for the dramatic is like Reggie Jackson. You know, you just know that every time he comes up, it's exciting, whether it's a strikeout or what. But I'll say this about Baez. I know right now the learning curve's happening.
Yeah.
When he's going to walk about 5 or 6 times or 7 times over a couple of games. You know, he's going to start being patient. He's going to start hitting the ball to right field. And when that happens, mark my word, he's going to hit about 6 home runs, 7 home runs in about 2 or 3 days. I mean, I've seen this before.
Yeah.
And I know exactly what he's doing right now. He's actually done a little better than I thought, you know, with the 5 home runs. it's going to take time, but he's a winner, you know, and Elmora same way. So not all these guys are going to make it, but if you get three of the five,
right?
I mean, you got something with Rizzo and Castro already here.
All right, great stuff. Mick Gillespie from the Tennessee Smokies, their fine play-by-play man, and appreciate you jumping in here. I'd love to play a game of pickup, you know, where you can have you take Bryant, we'll take Baez.
I'll take Omar.
Where do you go next? How do you figure it out?
Me, Russell.
Hey, enjoy your weekend in Chicago.
Thanks so much.
Hey, great being here.